Left to himself that he had contracted many very bad habits. He was obstinate, disobedient, and mischievous, and regarded nothing his father or mother said to him. As a lad, he was continually absenting himself from home. He generally went out early in the morning and spent the whole day in the public streets, playing with the other boys of his own age, who were as idle as himself. When he was old enough to learn a trade, his father, who was too poor to have taught him any other business than his own, took him to his shop and began to show him how to use his needle. But neither kindness nor the fear of punishment could restrain Aladdin's volatile and restless disposition, nor could his father succeed in making him attend to his work. No sooner was Mustafa's back turned than Aladdin was off and returned no more during the whole day. His father frequently chastised him, but Aladdin remained incorrigible, and with great sorrow Mustafa was obliged at last to abandon him to his idle vagabond course. This conduct of his son's gave him great pain, and the vexation of not being able to induce young Aladdin to pursue a proper and reputable course of life brought on a virulent and fatal disease that, to the end of a few months, put a period to poor Mustafa's existence. As Aladdin's mother saw that her son would never follow the trade of his father, she shut up Mustafa's shop and sold off all his stock and implements of trade. Upon the sum thus realized, added to what she could earn by spinning cotton, she and her son subsisted. Aladdin was now no longer restrained by the dread of his father's anger, and so regardless was he of his mother's advice that he even threatened her whenever she attempted to remonstrate with him. He gave himself completely up to idleness and vagabondism. He continued to associate with boys of his own age and became fonder than ever of taking part in all their tricks and fun. He pursued this course of life till he was 15 years old, without showing the least token of good feeling of any sort, and without making the slightest reflection upon what was to be his future lot. Affairs were in this state when, as he was one day playing with his companions, according to his custom, in one of the public places, a stranger, who was going by, stopped and looked attentively at him. The stranger was a magician, so learned and famous for his skill that by way of distinction he was called the African magician. He was, in fact, a native of Africa, and had arrived from that part of the world only 2 days before. Whether this African magician, who was well skilled in physiognomy, thought he saw in the countenance of Aladdin signs of a disposition well suited to the purpose for which he had undertaken a long journey, or whether he had any other project in view, it is uncertain. But he very cleverly obtained information concerning Aladdin's family, discovered who he was, and ascertained the sort of character and disposition he possessed. When he had made himself master of these particulars, he went up to the youngster, and, taking him aside from his companions, asked him if his father was not called Mustafa, and whether he was not a tailor by trade. "Yes, sir," replied Aladdin, "but he has been dead a long time." On hearing this, the African magician threw his arms round Aladdin's neck and embraced and kissed him repeatedly, while the tears ran from his eyes and his bosom heaved with sighs. Aladdin, who observed his emotion, asked him what reason he had to weep.
"Alas, my child," replied the magician, "how can I refrain? I am your uncle. Your father was my most excellent brother. I have been travelling hither for several years, and at the very instant of my arrival in this place, when I was congratulating myself upon the prospect of seeing him and rejoicing his heart by my return, you inform me of his death. How can I be so unfeeling as not to give way to the most violent grief when I thus find myself deprived of all my expected pleasure? However, my affliction is in some degree lessened by the fact that, as far as my recollection carries me, I discover many traces of your father."